You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative, and like the dude just said, just plain right. So, hey, time now to bring on a friend of mine. Jeff Poor is the talk show host, morning guy, one of the morning guys at FM Talk 106.5 down on the coastal regions of our state. He's also an editor with Breitbart, and, oh, by the way, he's the political editor for 1819 News. Jeff was actually broadcasting live last night during the election returns. I called in on his show, and now he's calling in on mine. Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Doing well, man, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I think we have a little bit of lag, so it's not like Jeff's asleep and having to be woken up for every question. But yeah, Jeff, can you hear me all right? You good on that?
Yeah, you sound great. You sound great.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Well, hey, listen, Jeff, I mean, you stayed on it till like 9 o'clock last night. Pretty much all the returns were in, I'm sure, before you wound up shutting down for the evening. But any surprises in the election returns for you last night?
I guess Katie Britt still did a lot better than I thought she would have done. Not that I didn't expect her to do well. 66 of 67 counties. If I had to pick one that Bo Brooks would have won, it would not have been Shelby. That probably would have been fourth or fifth on the list. But also the other big one, just how bad Jim Ziegler got beat by Wes Allen is kind of another surprise. So those are the two things. I everything else. Any kind of win as anticipated. It was probably a little higher than I had expected. 12%. I just thought this was going to be abysmal. And it still was abysmal, don't get me wrong. But at least we broke double digits. So that's important. But that's kind of sitting here today looking at it, the big takeaways.
Yeah, in fact, I think I saw Brandon Mosley from 1819 did some computations. He sent something out by email just a little while ago, and he said that that Britt, like the number of votes that Ivy got was like 339,000. She and just way ahead of what Britt was able to get to win the primary in this runoff. But that's the nature of runoffs. People forget, they get tied up. It's secondary now because the big election push has already gone by. But these runoffs, I mean, this is where people, I mean, this is where they make their money, so to speak. This is the nominee process right here.
Well, my takeaway, or at least I guess I need to study this, but like, I just don't think the Republican electorate really, really wants the ideological, a socially conservative candidate is ideal. But in a vacuum, when we study the psychology of the Republican electorate in this state and knowing what you got to do to win a statewide election in Alabama, what is it exactly that they want? What does a Republican voter want? Because the ideas seem to be pretty much spread all along the spectrum here. And I just don't know that the Mo Brooks, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul type of conservatism really fills or satisfies the voter. They want something a little different, something a little more style than necessarily just all substance, all policy.
Yeah, and you say that, but I wonder, because DeSantis just today came out and polled ahead in a New Hampshire straw poll over Trump. And DeSantis is a former member of the Tea Party, not Tea Party, but the Freedom Caucus. He's every bit the conservative ideologue that you're talking about, especially on social policies. But I think part of that, too, is DeSantis has more polish. He's got better retail politics kind of style. He gets out there. He can grip and grin. And I think that was part of what was missing with Brooks's campaign. He had to spend a lot of time in D.C., but his personality is also not the same as Katie Britt's. And I think personality also carried some of her campaign.
Well, and the comparison I want to make is Tommy Tuberville. Tuberville of 2020, not a policy wonk, not a guy that, sits around and reads the latest briefing from Heritage, anything of that sort. When he was on the campaign trail, there was a lot of shooting from the hip, a lot of kind of crazy statements out there, at times undisciplined. But the connection you make to a voter, that you've got to have an ability to make that connection. He did it well. Britton, not quite as well, but much better than Mo Brooks. I just think if conservatives want to make inroads in this state, and this is what we do, you know, one of the things we think about when we write our copy of our shows, that there is that stylistic approach. There is that intangible that locks a voter in on a candidate that isn't necessarily straight up policy, but like you say, it's a polish or it's some kind of relatability. It's, you know, like Tuberville was football doors or whatever. With Katie Britt, it was sort of this cultural idea, married the football player, had the family. There's something that I can't quite pinpoint it, but I think if you want to win in Alabama in a statewide election, you've got to have that secret combo.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And you know, but you look at the polar opposites. I mean, in this case, I saw one write-up that said that we just elected the potentially youngest U.S. senator to serve in the U.S. Senate, while also electing the oldest serving governor in the United States. And so age is not the thing. It's got to be something more along the lines of some popularity, some personality, and still also carrying the policy at the same time.
I agree with that. And money is, I'm not going to be simplistic about it. I think money certainly helped in both KIAB and Katie Britt's case. But there's this, Senator, looking at like kind of that wing that they come from. They are in the same lane, establishment. They get all the associations backing them, the business community, the banker, farmers, the people that do the white collar sort of work in this state, all just could not get enough of Katie Britt this cycle. You know who I'm talking about. And is that kind of what drives the politics in Alabama now, that it's necessarily a blue collar play, maybe like it once was, that it's that, at least in the Republican Party? I you know, general election may be different. Don't settle things in a general election in Alabama. We settle them in primaries and runoffs. And that seems to be the crowd that really gets engaged and active in party politics.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the push for a closed primary is going to come up. I mean, I don't know how much difference crossover voting meant in the statewide race. I rarely don't, but I know it made a difference, like in Tom Watley's race down in Lee County. But that being said, I think it's going to have to get back to the point that Republicans are required to appeal to their base and within their own party. And they do by and large. But when you can appeal to the moderates and try to swing the Democrats into your election to sort of help the vote, that can also play. And I really think to get back to conservatism, we may have to wind up closing the primaries. And then at the same time, it's going to be who we recruit. I mean, there were some conservatives who ran this time who would just have nothing when it comes to personality. Come on the radio and sound like librarians. I mean, it's just, you know, you look at it and go, good gosh, we can't find somebody better than that. But let me ask you this, in the down ballot side, I do see, you know, one who sort of pushed through that narrative of the establishment supporting most of the candidates was our future state auditor, Andrew Sorrell. He's one of those who did not have all the love in Montgomery, but he won the race.
Well, State Cook's not a traditional establishment part of the Montgomery apparatus politician. He's a perennial candidate. He runs for something every cycle, usually state auditor. But I think in this case, Sorrell has such ill will toward him from his time in the legislature that's why some of those associations went against him. However, they just said, okay, well, our only option here is Stan Cook. And in that situation, they would have gone, had it been Rusty Glover with whoever it might have been outside of maybe Jim Ziegler. But Arell, I think, self-finance, he for them, probably through their lens, the state auditor fight really wasn't worth investing a lot of time and effort into.
Well, you know, probably not. I accept that it becomes a springboard for other things later. And if you're trying to get rid of somebody and not have him in the long game, that didn't happen with Andrew Sorrell. All right, so anything else surprise you or catch your attention in the final few minutes of us discussing this?
Well, I just want to respond to the whole crossover voting thing, just as it pertains to this runoff election. Look, Senator, I look at some of these counties that Katie Britt did really well. And one I always like to point to is Winston County, and you know the history, the free state of Winston.
Yeah.
There aren't probably five Democrats in that county. She dominated that county. There was no crossover votes there. There were none to be had. And then you could go and probably just probably a dozen other counties that we could point to where there's so few Democrats that that wasn't the difference. The reason Katie Britt won this race had very little to do with crossover Democrats. And I hate the speech that Congressman Brooks gave last night saying that. But there were a lot of other reasons, a lot of other things that led to his loss. And that was way down the list personally.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we can see, like I was actually communicating with Senator Whiteley this morning, and he was sending me screenshots of all the Democrats, including the former chairman of the Lee County Democrat Party, who did appear to coalesce with a personal grudge against him in that county and went after him and crossed over and voted. I say crossed over. They'd always been Democrats. They went and voted Republican. But that being said, I can't say that I see this on a statewide level. I'll be curious if somebody ever finds the proof. I would love to see a counting of the votes and see how many voted in the 2020s that didn't vote Democrat this time. They voted Republican instead. That'll be interesting. And some analysis needs to be done on that. But I don't think it swayed the election. Her lead was what it was, and there was no way it was so close that any crossover would have made that big of a difference.
Well, let me just add this. You had one Democrat and go in the national newspaper record, the New York Times, write an op-ed acknowledging that she went in and voted, and she credited herself with swaying the election for Jay Hovey over Tom Whatley. So that's evidence. That's right there on the table. It doesn't get any more black and white. It's just internet screenshots or any of that. It's in the New York Times. I don't know what else you need. So that's something the Alabama Republican Party is going to have to deliberate on.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Listen, we are out of time here. Got to go to a break. Ran a minute long, actually, but appreciate you spending some time with us. Thanks for having me on last night on your gig, and we look forward to having you on probably tomorrow with the Grand Council.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, folks. We're going to go to a break right now, but that was Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile. You're down that way. Tune in to him in the morning. And he's on a daily down there. Also the the political news editor for 1819 News. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of this, I'm not done. We got more to do. We'll be right back.